everybody. Happy Monday. Thank you so much for being here and welcome to Life Journeys. I'm Serena and I'm so excited to be here with you all. For those of you who have listened to before, you know that we recently moved and we are now finally fully settled in, except that we are still figuring out our Wi-Fi, which means that this show is actually pre-recorded. So I'll still make sure to pop into the chat room during the show to chat with you all. So still head over there if you want to join in on the conversation. And if you guys are new to the show or are interested in getting into the chat room, you can find it by going to 12radio.com and clicking on the chat button, which you'll find on the panel on the left side of the screen. You will then be redirected to our Facebook page, which is also called 12radio. And if this is your first time, go ahead and request to join the group. And then our producer, Jay, will make sure you get into the chat room during the show. And once you guys are in, you'll see a banner that has a picture of me and my beautiful pup on the beach. Go ahead to the comment section of that post and drop in and say hi. I'll definitely be popping in there, even though this is pre-recorded noon on Monday Pacific time. I will be in the chat room saying hi to you all, so go ahead and head over there and I'll look forward to connecting with you guys. I'm definitely missing doing these shows live, and I really hope that we're going to have all our Wi-Fi figured out by next week so that I can really connect with you guys on a deeper level and allow you guys to ask some questions and I can do some live readings. I do enjoy doing that a lot and I'm looking forward to being able to bring that back into this show. But wow, moving really does always come with so many surprising things that you just don't take into consideration no matter how many times you move. I've moved countless times at this point in my life, and I always struggle setting up Wi-Fi. For some reason, it's a transition that I have not yet figured out. And we've now, with this move, we've been without Wi-Fi for about 3 weeks, and I'm so grateful that I'm still able to work and take calls at 12Listen and just connect with you all without it. Like, I'm really grateful that both my husband and I are not tied down to Wi-Fi in order to work. Like, that would make this much more stressful. And I will say, though, that it has been kind of incredible to not be in constant contact with social media and the TV and just kind of being too tied into technology and the outside world over the past few weeks. Like, we've really been able to unplug and settle into our new space while creating an entirely new routine. Like, we knew this would be a big transition. We're going from a tiny one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco to this still small but really perfect house for us out in Oakland. And I'm really loving every bit of the change. And in our old apartment, our kitchen, living room, and bedroom were all in the same space, so we really didn't have separate spaces for all of our different parts of life. And we also didn't have an outdoor space that was private that we wanted to spend time in. And our home really ended up being centered around the TV. Like, it's how we played music, it's how we checked in on the news, it's anytime we, you know, watched a show or put on a movie. It was basically the constant filler between all activities and things happening throughout our day. And I feel like that's just something that in smaller spaces where you don't have an outdoor space and some sort of nature right there that's yours, that can just be a naturally how things end up happening. But now that we're in a house and we don't have Wi-Fi, we're playing our music through this little speaker. We're having coffee in the garden every morning. We're spending more time, like, consciously settling into our house. And I mean, occasionally we'll watch maybe half a movie on our DVD player with this little movie collection we've started. But we just don't want to be on the couch in front of the TV in this space. It feels weird to sit in the to spend some time in front of the TV. And I absolutely love that. I love that change. So, I mean, while certain things will soon be a lot easier when we have Wi-Fi, like being able to do this radio show live, I'm definitely going to do my best to continue this rhythm that we've established once we do have Wi-Fi set up. But I mean, all of it's really made me think of all the things that take longer in life than expected, or little things that seem like an inconvenience. I mean, I could so easily be frustrated by not having Wi-Fi right now. And there are moments it does frustrate me. It is inconvenient. But it's also made me realize just how ridiculous it is that we are so dependent on it. And it's just, it's something that has kind of made me sit with it in a way where I had a big moment once I chose to accept that this is how it's supposed to be happening for us right now in this time in our life. And it was actually like I let go of a significant weight and stress that I didn't even know I was experiencing. And it made me realize that there's so many little things, big and small, right, that are so frustrating or impossible to deal with that happen throughout our lives all the time. And it got me thinking that when there are things that are truly just simply inconvenient and they're not actually negatively impacting or damaging your life, it is so freeing to simply choose to just enjoy the ride, accept that this is happening by design, that this is happening as it's supposed to, and to just take it in stride and let go of that stress of trying to force it. And it's, I mean, by all this, I don't mean huge inconveniences that drastically impact your life. I'm talking about, like, I don't know, maybe your coffee pot breaks and you need to try tea for that morning, right? Or your phone's malfunctioning and people can't reach you for a day or so. Or you're on a trip and your travel plans change and you end up staying longer in one spot than you had meant to. Like, all of these things are unexpected, and they present as inconvenient, but they may actually be a significant message from the universe and from the energy around you that you need this change or this break in your life in this specific moment. And then once you do realize that it is, in fact, not the end of the world that you won't have your morning coffee like you always do, or if your phone breaks, you send out that email to say, in case of emergency, contact this family member who's close by. Or, you know, you realize that your travel plans change and you discover that you get to have this whole experience you would have completely missed otherwise. Like, I've really noticed that you do feel an immense sense of relief and peace. And all these things that we think matter so much really may not matter that much at all when it comes down to it. And all these things that we are so, so dependent on really may not be that important. And yeah, it's funny all the things that you can think of when something as simple as Wi-Fi changes in your life. I want to hear from you guys. So if you've recently or at some point had an experience like this, can you please leave it in the comments? It has been on my mind so much lately, and I'd love to hear. I feel like we all have these little moments where we say, gosh, it's really not that big of a deal. So I'd really love to hear what you guys think about all that. But okay, enough rambling about what's going on in my little life, but the main topic of today's show that we're going to be spending the next hour or so talking about is, I announced last week, if you all listened, that my husband and I are expecting our first child, and I'm 5 months pregnant. And gosh, I absolutely love that I'm at the stage of this pregnancy where I can talk to you all about it. And I can share my experience and have these conversations with you all about motherhood and parenting and all the changes going on and pregnancy and hormones and all of that. We did tell our close friends and family pretty quickly. So I was able to have a great support team through that really challenging first trimester, which was incredible. I don't know how anybody keeps it a complete secret between themselves and their partner until the second trimester. That is really incredible to me. I don't think it's something I could have done. But now we're finally far enough into this that I'm really excited to be talking to you all about it a bit more. And last week, I talked about my new experiences with setting boundaries and that major shift that's been going on as my priorities have really settled in since getting pregnant. I mean, as well, I also touched base a little bit on this duality of figuring out how to learn as much as possible about the pregnancy while also staying present in my own unique experience. And that's been a line that I've really had an interesting time learning how to walk, because I want to do both. But today, I want to talk a bit more about the hormonal shifts I've been experiencing. And since all of you who've listened to my earlier shows where I talk about cycle syncing know that I'm a bit obsessed with understanding how all of our sex hormones function within our body and impact us. But I also want to talk about kind of just the other taboo topics of women's health that we don't talk about at all. I have a lot of conversations with clients and women in my life who are going through menopause about how lonely the entire experience is, and it's something that I think should be talked about more. So in the same way that I spent a few shows talking about cycle syncing and understanding your menstrual periods and everything, with that aspect of being a woman and bringing that into a very casual but educational and safe space conversation, non-judgmental conversation, I want to do the same thing about the things I've been learning about with my experience with pregnancy and then also with postpartum eventually. And I also want to bring menopause into the conversation. These are all huge aspects of women's lives that are not talked about and end up being very lonely. And I don't think it should be that way. So that's kind of the agenda of what I want to be talking about today. And if any of these previous shows that I'm mentioning sound interesting to you and you missed them, you can always go find them under On Demand on 12radio.com. It'll be on that same left panel where you'll find the chat button. A little button will say On Demand. And once you click on that, you can scroll down to Serena at the bottom of the list, and then you'll be able to listen to any of my previous shows. So I also try to include a little short description in there so it's a little easier for you guys to find the show that you're looking for, and it should have make it pretty easy for you guys. But so one of the biggest changes that happens to a woman's body, let's just jump right in. One of the biggest changes that happens to a woman's body when she's pregnant is her hormones shift entirely and then continue to build throughout the entire pregnancy. A lot of women talk about it like a roller coaster that just goes up and up and up and up for 9 months, 9 or 10 months, depending on how long your pregnancy is, and then crashes, and you have that huge plummet at once you give birth and you lose all of those wonderful hormones that are supporting you. But it is such a drastic change and increase right away that first trimester can be so overwhelming. And those changes are something that are brand new. It's not something we've ever experienced in our lives. And that's something that I was shocked by. It was as if I'd learned about it and understood logically what happens. But the actual physical experience and personal experience of it was so unique and different. And it's... I'll do my best to describe it, but it is hard to... I don't think you can ever really be prepared for it. It's very different from that logical base understanding. But... So our bodies and reproductive systems, right, when we're not pregnant, function within four phases that repeat each month, right? Which is a woman's period, right? We often talk just about the menstrual phase, which is when a woman bleeds, but there are really four phases of a menstrual cycle, and that is when the main sex hormones, progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone, all are fluctuating and changing and shifting throughout the month. And these four phases, right, they include increases and decreases in these sex hormones that will, for the most part, they'll shift in similar ways month to month. And it's something that we all kind of get used to one way or another, whether you're aware of how it all works or not. And now before deciding to get pregnant, I was paying really close attention to my shifting hormones. And I wanted to get to know my cycle as best as I can. I wanted to get my cycle to the healthiest it could possibly be before we started trying to get pregnant. And I definitely planned it as much as I could. I had picked the day that I wanted us to start trying to get pregnant way in advance, and then started doing everything I could to get my cycle as healthy as possible. And even though I'd been practicing cycle syncing for a few years at that point, I hadn't gotten to the point of intensely documenting every day and tracking the changes I experienced until right before getting pregnant. And it's definitely, it was a fun experience that I really enjoyed a lot, but it's not something that's necessary in order to successfully cycle sync. It's not even really something I would recommend because it can be stressful for some people. I'm just enough of a nerd and an analyst that I wanted all that data to be able to look at. But all of this is to say, all of this little aside is just to say that by the time I got pregnant, I was extremely familiar with the way that my body, my mind, and my hormones changed throughout the four phases and with each period that I had. So, like, for example, like, I knew that a dip in my energy, if I all of a sudden had less energy for really no explanation through my, at some point in my luteal phase, maybe like halfway through my luteal phase or so, I knew that I was running out of the last of my leftover testosterone from when I was ovulating, and that I was transitioning into my late luteal phase. And so I knew it was important to lighten my schedule and to give myself grace throughout the following like 4 or 5 days. And I knew that my energy levels were going to continue to decrease and that my body was preparing to have my period. And it was something that became so natural to me. And I was able to not be surprised by these things. I was able to anticipate them. And also, if something was happening a little differently than normal, I was able to shift my diet or my exercise or my schedule in order to support that little change. And I really got to a point where it was quite fluid and natural, and it felt like a conversation I got to have with my body throughout the whole month. And it became really natural to me. And I have so many different examples of little shifts and subtle changes that I would experience, and it really just helped me inherently understand what's happening within my body and what's happening with my hormones. And it didn't just come from those 3 months of really intensely documenting all of it. It came from years of experiencing and watching my cycle and trying to understand it. And it really ended up just being, I was studying myself. I was a history major, you guys. I like information and data. So, but now, like, as I shifted into being pregnant, like, I was so in tune with my body and with how my cycle felt that I knew, like, I was maybe 95% sure. I knew 2 days after we started trying that I was pregnant. which sounds insane. I mean, it was a bizarre experience. And I remember I kept telling my husband that I'm either way too synced up with my cycle and this is bizarre, or I'm really excited about being pregnant and I've convinced myself that we got pregnant on the first try. And of course, you know, pregnancy tests, they don't they'll say negative, negative, negative until you get to that first missed period. So I had to wait about 2 weeks until we got our first positive pregnancy test. But once we got to that point, it was confirmed that I did know as early as 2 days after we started trying that we were pregnant. And I'm so glad that I trusted myself in that moment and that I wrote down all of the symptoms I was experiencing and all the changes. And it was really subtle things, because something that a lot of people don't talk about is that the earliest signs of pregnancy are actually quite similar to that that second half of your cycle before you get your period. But I was noticing that my tender breasts felt different than they normally do when they become tender right before my period. It was a subtle difference. And I noticed that my cravings were slightly different than they usually were in the second half of my cycle. And there were other more random things that led me down the path to eventually understand that these things that were happening right when you get pregnant were not related to my cycle. And it all just felt new and different in a way that I couldn't fully explain, but I knew it wasn't my regular cycle, if that makes sense. And, one of the more random things that I did not connect right away was I actually twisted my ankle, I think maybe 4 or 5 days into being pregnant. And I didn't connect the dots that it was because I'm pregnant and that my balance has changed until my mom pointed it out a few weeks later when I told her we were pregnant. It was a great conversation. She was super excited for us and everything. And she goes, "Oh, that's why you twisted your ankle." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Well, that must have been right after you got pregnant." I was like, "I guess so." And it's because your center of gravity changes pretty much right away. And it's not something I'd ever heard of anybody talk about before. But it's also why pregnant people aren't supposed to climb ladders even in their first trimester, right? Our bodies have changed so much in such a short period of time. And I mean, this is way before we start to show or gain any pregnancy weight at all, right? All these changes are happening in such a short period of time, and they're all changes that you can't see. And oftentimes you don't look out for. There are so many things that I have learned that I had no idea is a part of pregnancy. And I mean, another change that I really wasn't expecting at all is this incredible decrease in my energy throughout my entire first trimester. I was tired all the time. I seriously struggled to function at my normal pace. And at some point I just had to lower my expectations. And I eventually learned that it's mainly due to the fact that our bodies are building a lot of things, right? We're building all the little tiny details in the fetus, all the little organs, the bones, the nerves, everything, right? We're also quickly building the placenta as fast as possible, right? We're also preparing the rest of the body for housing a baby. Your breasts are changing. Your uterus is changing. Your blood vessels are getting wider so that you can house a higher volume of blood. Your organs are preparing to move, right? But we're also producing so many more hormones for both ourselves and for the baby. And I mean, just listing all that off sounds exhausting, but it's nothing that you can see, and it's nothing that I was consciously doing. And it was honestly hard for me to wrap my mind around it, because I had so many, I wanted to live my life the way I normally could, and I had to really quickly accept that I would really have no idea what my day would look like, but I knew it would most definitely involve a nap, or probably two. At some point, I pretty consistently took 2 naps a day. It was really hard to function, but I think, the first trimester for me, between how tired I was and also my struggle with food, was just painful. It was the longest 3 months of my life. But a really cool part of that, and I think it's something that's just always going to fascinate me, is it's the way that a pregnant body manages hormone production and that drastic change that happens at the beginning of the second trimester. And I talked about this a bit in the last show, and I'm not going to be surprised if I talk about it every show. I am fascinated by it. And it's actually one of the biggest factors that impacts the shift between the first and the second trimester, and it's the placenta. This organ that did not exist within your body before getting pregnant and has been entirely built from scratch in only 3 months, all of a sudden is pretty much fully functioning by your second trimester. Like, fully functioning to the point that it can take over the hormone production for the baby. And up until this point, mom's body has been responsible for producing all of her own hormones, all of the baby's hormones, and it's one of the reasons why the first trimester is so exhausting and why we experience terrible morning sickness and have such a hard time with food. All of it actually does tie back to the hormones. And personally, I mean, I never threw up, actually, in my first trimester. I never had that type of morning sickness. But I was nauseous 24/7. I had constant vertigo. Like, the room was always spinning. And it really felt like any food I ate would make me throw up. I actually spent a lot of time wondering whether it would actually feel better if I did throw up. I mean, I was miserable. I was really struggling to enjoy any part of the pregnancy at this point. And everyone kept telling me just to get to the second trimester. I promise you, it's like nirvana. Like, everyone was so dramatic about it, and I get it now. But then I did talk to some women who didn't feel that relief at all. And through the second trimester, they continued to struggle with food and with nausea. And I was so worried that I would be one of those women because I was just struggling so much. And my doctor was able to give me a bit of advice. The most helpful thing was to eat carbs every 2 hours, actually. So I ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I ate a lot of pasta with butter and salt and maybe some Parmesan. If I had Parmesan in my pasta, it was a good day. But that and a ton of water, that's pretty much what I lived on. And it was a huge relief when I finally got to go talk to my OB. I mean, you're not able to go in and see your OB until you're at least 9 weeks. And so that was, since I found out right away, that was a long time for me to wait. Most women will only have to wait maybe two to four weeks or so. I still think we should all be able to go in and see a doctor and get some answers way before then, but they literally won't see you. All they'll do if you show up is make you take a pregnancy test, say, okay, cool, you're pregnant, and we will see you at 9 weeks. This is so weird to me. They just say, don't drink and don't do drugs. Sorry if you can hear my dog. He's running around. Yeah, it's bizarre to me that that's... that pregnant women in that early stages are entirely on their own. But when I did get to talk to my doctor, it was a huge moment when she said, do not try to eat nutritional meals. You will not be successful if you're having this hard of a time already. Just eat carbs and eat every 2 hours. And before you stand up, eat a cracker. Like, just be consistent with it. And it was the only thing that helped. But I finally did get to my 12th week, and it really was like finding nirvana. Like, one morning I woke up, I didn't even think about it. I ate breakfast and I felt fine, and it was a miracle. It felt like a miracle. And I learned later that it was because my placenta was grown enough to take over hormone production for the baby, and my body was able to refocus a bit of energy back on me. And you know what? It really felt like I was given back the remote control over my brain and my body after 3 months away. Like, it kind of felt like I'd been in the back seat for those 3 months, and then all of a sudden I got to drive again. It was a big moment for me. And now that I'm well into my second trimester, we're actually about to hit 21 weeks. We just celebrated the halfway mark. I've really been able to enjoy the pregnancy. I'm actually feeling the baby move every day now, which is incredible. And I feel like we're kind of establishing a bit of rhythm between the two of us. I started to notice that the baby moves a lot more right after I eat. And I learned that that's because they actually get a burst of calories 5 to 10 minutes or so after mom eats, so that they'll experience increased energy and will move a lot more. So it's actually encouraged, if you're not really feeling your baby move, to eat and then to lie down and not move for a little, and then you'll start to feel them move. But it really just blows my mind how much we're connected. It's so incredible. And another thing I learned that was just so wonderful to discover is that when I'm up and moving around, or just going on a walk or working out or anything, it's actually like I'm rocking the baby to sleep, which makes sense. It's soothing movement. It's the reason why when babies are born, that you are always rocking them on your hip and moving them around like that. And so then the difference, though, is once I sit down after moving around for a few hours, you know, it's time for the baby to wake up. And then I start to feel a lot more movement as well. And I mean, I definitely wondered at first if it would feel foreign or weird to have something moving inside of me. But it really has just been so incredible to discover that it just feels like the most natural thing ever. And now it's really normal going, oh, the baby's dancing. And it just blows my mind. I'm absolutely in heaven. I love it so much. And I'm not far enough along that anyone else can feel the baby's movements, like with their hand on my stomach yet. But that's another thing to look forward to. Though I kind of do love that it's just something for me right now. I do really enjoy that too. And for all parents listening, please feel free to leave a baby moving story in the chat room, or if you have any fun experience that you'd like to tell. I've been really loving hearing everyone's experience as of what it was like to go through their first pregnancies. So please go ahead and leave any stories or comments in the chat room. I'd love to hear it. I mean, whether you're new parents or you had your first kids 50 years ago, it's something that really does just make my day. And I mean, okay, one of my favorite things, honestly, about having this radio show is I feel like I have an opportunity to talk about the aspects of everyday life that people tend to avoid or kind of dance around. Like, I've been so shocked to discover so many little things through this pregnancy that I had no idea pregnant people go through. Like, and I've known a lot of pregnant people in my life, right? And it's just something that people don't talk about. And everyone talks about, oh, the baby kicked, and what are the other normal things people talk about? I'm struggling to walk upstairs, or I guess I'm having some mood swings. But, you know, you don't hear people talking about the fact that their body odor changes. That has been a big shock for me. Or, you know, how do you shave when you're pregnant? Or what happens when you actually feel like you're going to snap the head off of someone that you're talking to one moment and then start crying out of gratitude for them being in your lives the next? There's so many things that we just don't think are okay to talk about. And I mean, I've always been someone to go figure out the answers to things that don't make sense to me or that I don't understand. So I do love that I get to talk to you all about both my experience, but also what I've learned through this experience. And something that I keep thinking about throughout this whole pregnancy It's just that women's health and our experiences really aren't talked about enough. And, I mean, obviously, I already believed this before experiencing pregnancy, given how much time I've dedicated to cycle syncing and helping women just try to find peace within their periods as a part of their lives. But I guess with something like pregnancy that you would assume is more talked about, maybe just because it's simply more seen or more celebrated, I think part of me thought that there would be more spaces for these conversations. But I mean, no, everything about women's health, from periods and pregnancy to postpartum and menopause, it's not commonly talked about in our world yet. And we're starting to see that change slowly, but it is a slow change. And I mean, I've had so many women who call me at 1-2-Listen who are struggling with menopause, and it really breaks my heart that they just don't have the resources that they so desperately crave and deserve. Not only are the options available to women that are going through menopause, they're just extremely limited, but the research around menopause is really minimal. Sorry if you can hear my dog. He's playing right next to me. And so, I mean, we're starting to see more research coming out about menopause and the natural ways that women can partner with this drastic change rather than being pummeled by it. But I mean, for years, we are years, if not decades, away from this being a part of everyday Western medicine. And that's just far too long. And I mean, well, okay, while we're talking about menopause, let me just say that I personally believe that if we all understood the ways that fluctuating estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone affects us throughout our changing lives, so many things would become so much easier. And these are the same sex hormones that I am always talking about, right? And I'm currently learning even more about through my own pregnancy. But so just like how I experienced extreme relief when the placenta I built took over some of the baby's hormone production, and I learned what it feels like to experience that shift in the source of what is producing my hormones, which I'd never experienced before, right? It's the ovaries. It's always been the ovaries for the rest of my life, right? Like, menopause actually has a similar shift, right? Throughout most of our lives, our ovaries are responsible for the majority of our hormone production, our sex hormone production. Those same three guys, right? Estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But what's crazy is once a woman begins to go through menopause, that responsibility of producing those sex hormones is actually shifted to our adrenal glands. And one of the big issues with this is that most of our adrenal glands are already weighed down and significantly impacted by the stress that we experience throughout day-to-day life. They already have a big job going on. So once it has this heavy weight of producing our sex hormones added to its already long list of things to manage, the adrenal glands are exhausted. So this phenomenon, right, paired with a significant drop in estrogen, which means women are going to experience things like irritability, low energy, weight gain, anxiety, and this is just listing a few, right? These are all symptoms of progesterone and testosterone when they're not balanced by estrogen, right? So you can kind of see how it's a perfect storm. And it's, again, something that is so unlike anything else women have experienced throughout their lives. And I was surprised to even find that similarity of my shift of no longer having to produce the baby's hormones, or I still produce some of them, but, you know, progesterone is the main hormone that the placenta takes over producing for the baby in the second trimester. And it was the first time that I had experienced a shift in the, what is responsible for producing one of my sex hormones. And it was so significant. And it gave me this new perspective on how significant that shift is for women who are going through menopause. And now, so like, let's look, what does Western medicine say, right? Most women going through menopause will first be offered some sort of estrogen supplement, right? Which makes sense. You're experiencing all of these new negative symptoms partially because your estrogen is decreasing so quickly. So why not just give you more estrogen, right? It makes sense. But what is challenging for me when thinking about how we handle menopause, which in reality is very similar to how we handle menstrual cycles, right? Is why can't we talk about the fact that this is a natural thing that our body is experiencing? And rather than fighting it by putting something in our body that is literally going against what our body is trying to do, why not try to support the process as it is designed to happen, right? Same thing happens with periods. Rather than understanding how our cycles work, we get put on birth control and add more hormones into our systems that goes against the way that our body is supposed to be naturally functioning. When there are ways that you can actually have safe sex and not get pregnant without needing to be on a birth control that adds more hormones into your bodies, and there's ways for you to have more manageable periods where it isn't painful and it isn't taking off, you know, it isn't 10 days of bleeding like it used to be for me, without having to be put on medication or having adding more hormones into your body again, right? Our natural reaction, or what we think is our only option of adding drugs or hormones into our system, whether this is for your menstrual period or for your experience in menopause, is it's often shown as the only option that we have. And just with my experience with cycle syncing and the way that I've worked with so many women on incorporating that into their lives and trying to reduce the way that you're intervening with your natural menstrual cycle and trying to partner with your cycle rather than fight it, that experience for me has made me think of menopause really differently when I have is women calling me who are suffering, who are really, it is so drastically impacting their lives, and they're lonely because there's no one to talk to about it because we're not supposed to talk about it. And the doctors just say, oh, this is having a hard time with it. Let me give you testosterone. Let me give you an estrogen patch, right? Let me just pump more hormones into your system. And really, I mean, the way that I talk about shifting your diet, shifting your exercise, shifting your schedule, or the amount of stress in your life, right, to support our hormones during our menstrual cycle, right, we can also shift these same aspects of our lives to support the changes of menopause. And they don't have to be major shifts. It can actually be as simple as incorporating intermittent fasting into some days of your week, or adding a natural detox to help your body flush out the excess estrogen that can't be used anyways because your body's not doing that anymore, and is normally one of the main reasons that it's harder to lose weight during menopause, right? It can be learning how to manage your stress so that your adrenal glands have less to worry about and can actually start focusing on producing your hormones in a more balanced way. And I'm sure all of this sounds a bit complicated if you aren't familiar with the way that all the hormones work. And it just brings me right back to my point that if we all inherently understood the ways that progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone work, and the ways that we can support the peaks and the dips of these hormones, our lives would be so much easier. And we'd still have to shift certain aspects of our lives in order to support these hormones, because these hormones really, they drastically impact our quality of life and the way that our bodies are capable of functioning. But it, the same way that I find it ridiculous that we are expected to show up the exact same way every single day when these major factors inside of our bodies are changing so drastically throughout our cycle. It is ridiculous to expect women going through menopause to show up the same way that they have for the last 40 years without acknowledging that this change is happening, that they are experiencing hot flashes, that they are incredibly irritable by the smallest little thing, that they are going through this also loss of what a lot of women consider to be their womanhood. It's a really big deal, and it is not talked about. And in the same way that it's really frowned upon also to say, I'm not enjoying this pregnancy, right? In my first trimester, I was not enjoying this pregnancy. I was struggling. And so many people who are also, you know, close people in my life came back and said, oh, but it is a miracle, right? It is such a blessing. And I said, yes, it is. It absolutely is. But it can both be a miracle and a blessing and hard. And I want that to be the conversation that we're able to have, right? And I mean, I know it may be a bit odd that my experience with my first pregnancy has led me to thinking about menopause so much, but it is just the way that my brain works. And it's also a conversation that I do have with many of my clients at One Two Listen. And I've just always been this person to try to understand things as much as I can. So I always want to do as much as I can to learn new ways to support you all. And menstrual cycles, pregnancy, postpartum, menopause, these are all things that most women are going to experience in their life. And it's incredible that now we are starting to open up these spaces where we can have these conversations. There are more podcasts that women are hosting to be able to talk about these things. Books are coming out talking about cycle syncing, talking about menopause, talking about these, creating these resources for women who are really looking for help, but we're just barely getting started. And what we need is a safe, educational, non-judgmental, and healing space for us to be able to talk about all of these things. And I'd love it if this could become something like that. And it's a huge part of what I want this show to be about, especially as I'm going to be experiencing so many changes over the next 5 months, but also the next few years, throughout this pregnancy and throughout postpartum and motherhood and parenting, and just as I continue to learn more and more. And I just always want to be that sponge that is soaking up as much information as possible. But I'm still going to be launching a class through One Two Academy all about cycle syncing, where we're going to be talking about all the basics of what all these hormones do and how they interact and what it feels like, to what the four phases are in your cycle, so that you can understand really inherently what it's like to go from the follicular to the ovulatory to the luteal to the menstrual phase, to ways that you can shift certain aspects of your life in order to support these hormones, so that if you have terrible acne right before your period starts, there's things that you can change throughout the four phases before that, so that that's not as much of a problem. If you have horrible mood swings, you can incorporate certain things in your diet because that is just an imbalance in your hormones, right? If you have a 10-day long period like I used to have, there are ways that you can support your hormones throughout the earlier stages of your cycle so that your body doesn't need to shed that much of your lining. Your body doesn't need to go through that whole painful process. And it's little things like if your cramps are terrible, if you have horrible headaches, if you are really just want to kill everyone around you in that week before your period because you're just going to snap. It's a thing that if you know, you know. Of course, we don't mean any of this literally, but you know. All of these things are things that don't have to be this way, and there are more options than ibuprofen and the pill. There's so many more options than just that. So That's going to be a big thing that I want to, that will be launched soon. I'll be able to announce that date soon for a cycle syncing class. And I also want to start a menopause class. I think we need more and more resources of ways that we, and spaces where we can talk about menopause. And I've been learning a lot about what things that we can do to support the process of menopause, whether that be also shifting your diet and your stress levels and learning how to manage your stress in a way that you probably haven't before in your life, or if it's learning about how to incorporate intermittent fasting into your life. There's a lot of different things that are natural, safe things that you can do and you can try that provide a lot of women relief through menopause, regardless of what stage of menopause that you're in. So that's another class that I am going to be launching probably after the cycle syncing class, but I will keep you all posted on that. I also just like to mention, and I didn't mention this earlier in the show, but I'm not a medical professional. This is all research that I've done through my own time, my own resources, things that I've learned through just life experience. And with everything that I've done, I've also checked in with my doctor just to make sure that it's a healthy option for me. So I always encourage everyone to do the same. Whether you're working with an OB in Western medicine or a naturopath, like, check in with your doctor to make sure that all these things that you're going to be trying or experiencing are the right choices for you. All of our bodies are different. We all need different support. I will say, though, that the majority, pretty much everything that I suggest through cycle syncing and everything, it's all as simple as a little diet change or shifting your exercise or changing your schedule around. So none of it are drastic changes that could significantly impact your health in that way, but still run it by your doctor. They most likely won't know what you're talking about, but you'll be able to describe the different things that you'll be doing and changing. And they can tell you if that is something that is a safe choice for you. But yeah, that's it for this week's show. Please tune in next week. So we're going to be continuing to talk about all things cycle syncing, pregnancy, parenting, menopause, and really plus what other random things are going on in my life that lead to some bigger thoughts that I like to bring to you all. I'll make sure to pop back into the chat room around right now so that I can continue to respond to any comments you guys are leaving. So go, if you haven't yet, go ahead and head into the chat room and I will connect with you all there. I really do love hearing from all of you, so please don't be shy. Hopefully next week I will have Wi-Fi set up and that will be resolved so that I'll be able to have a bit more of an interactive show and do some readings for everyone. And until then, you can find me at onetolisten.com as an advisor. I'm signed on and available pretty much every day of the week. And I try to keep my hours spread out throughout the day to make it a little easier for you all to reach me whenever you need. I am a bit of a night owl, so sometimes it's later rather than earlier. But I've been trying to sign on earlier too so that you all can get me whenever you need me. And as for everybody else, I will see you all next week for our next episode of Life Journeys. It's going to be every Monday at noon Pacific time. So thanks, you guys, and enjoy the rest of your week. I'm sending love and joy to you all. Yeah.